Vacha,
Vishamya
Galatam Eva, Vishnam Danusi Duvaha, Sandadhe Stranum Uprishya, Yanalaina Nirmita, Maitreya Vacha. The great sage Narayana Maitreya continued to speak. Maitreya continued to speak. Nisamya, having heard, Galatam, the words, Evam, thus, Krishnam, of the sages, Danusi, upon his bow, Dhruvaha, Dhruva Maharaj, Sandadhe, fixed, Ashram, an arrow, Upasprishya, after touching water, Yat, that, that which, Narayana, by Narayan, Nirmulam, was made. Translation. Sri Maitreya said, my dear Vidura, when Dhruva Maharaj heard the encouraging words of the great sages, he performed his archama by touching water and then took up his arrow made by Lord Narayan and fixed it upon his bow, purport by his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. Dhruva Maharaj was given a specific arrow made by Lord Narayan himself, and he now fixed it upon his bow to finish the illusory atmosphere created by the yakshas. As is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.14, Mamevam ye papajante mayam etam tarantite. Without Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one is able to overcome the actions of the illusory energy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also given us a nice weapon for this age, as stated in the Bhagavatam. Sangha Pagosht Astriya, in this age, the Narayana Sutra, the Narayana Astra, or the weapon to drive away Maya, is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in pursuance of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, such as Advaita Prabhu, Nityananda, Gadadhara, and Srivas. Amagyana Timiranda Shyaganandjana Shalakya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhayevacha Patitadam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here the translation again is, Sri Maitreya said, my dear Vidura, when Dhruva Maharaj heard the encouraging words of the great sages, he performed the archama by touching water and then took up his arrow by Lord Narayan, made by Lord Narayan, and fixed it upon his bow. So here we have this story. Now the next chapter happens in the life of Dhruva Maharaj. It's a great saga. Make a great movie, really. Just an amazing storyline. So it's an amazing saga. So here we had Dhruva Maharaj having an onslaught of these yakshas, and he's fighting by himself. So he at one point was bewildered, and by the advice of the great sages, he was able to overcome this illusion. This is the message that's being astounded here. Srila Prabhupada makes that point in the purport. So the advice of the acharyas and the direction, the course of action that he should take, has been specified by these great sages. So he heard from authority. He surrendered to the understanding that, I don't know, I'm bewildered what to do in this situation. Now let me take shelter of these great sages, these people that know the truth. And so on taking that instruction, he knew what to do. So taking their advice, he knew what to do and acted upon that. So when we hear from those that know the truth, we actually become enlightened into what we should be doing with our life. There's that verse, Tadvidhi Pranipatena. That's probably the most important verse in the whole Bhagavad Gita. That we surrender. If we're bewildered, if we're lost, Arjuna was lost, he was completely bewildered. He was half the person, or a fraction of the person that he really was. And for our benefit, this whole episode of the Bhagavad Gita was there for us to understand that when we are bewildered, we have to turn to those that know the truth. So the Lord is there to help us. And the Lord sends his representatives through the sages to actually help us to become unbewildered, to become out of illusion. So this is what's happened here. The word here that's mentioned is quite a long word, Sangopanastra. Sangopanastra means the association of saintly persons. This in our life is so very, very important that we have proper association, that we deal with people that can enlighten us, that can bring us to a state of understanding, that can dispel the illusion of the material energy. Prabhupada in his classes always used to start off with this point. We are in the greatest illusion thinking that we are these material bodies. First mistake. And one that we all fall into the trap of. Actually, I exist. This is me. This body here is me. Whereas in actuality, that's not correct. So it's mentioned in the purport, and I just wanted to read this section. The Prabhupada, in this purport, he quoted that verse 7.14, where the four verses, Devyesha Gunamaya Mama Maya Taratija, Mame Vame Prapajante Mayam Etan Taranti Te. The translation is, this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, the shackles that hold us, is difficult to overcome. There's no doubt about it that to get out of this material world is one of the most, is the most difficult thing for us to do. But those who surrender unto me can very easily cross beyond it. So it's not only surrendering to Krishna, but also to surrender to his representatives. This is the point of this message. This is the point of this purport. Dhruva Maharaj was bewildered and he took the advice of the great sages. So in the purport, I just wanted to read energies. And all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of his energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with the material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. So all of us are actually part of the divine. If you think of what that actually means, it doesn't mean that we are God, but we are part of God. We're part of this energy. We are so much more than what we think we are. Even in this material body, we become puffed up. Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. Even in this material body, we become puffed up. Oh, I'm so good looking. Oh, I have so much knowledge. Oh, I have such wealth. We become puffed up. But actually, you know, the whole superhero craze is going berserk out there in the cinema world. One after the other, the next one is coming up. The latest one was the Black Panther, you know. And he was so surcharged by eating this little flower, he becomes so surcharged and he became a divine personality, so to speak. We're all superheroes. Underneath this material covering, we are all superheroes. We're all spiritually surcharged. Superior power. This is our nature. This is actually who we really are. And we settle for this lump of stool, this mass of blood, pus, bile, urine, everything. That's us, folks. Because when you actually get to the nitty-gritty of it, we're not very attractive. This material body is not very attractive. Prabhupada continues. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Bhada. Nitya Bhada, eternally conditioned, completely illusion. Don't know what's going on there. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult. We can't remember when we were back with Krishna in the spiritual realm. We've completely forgotten that, complete insomnia. Because the material energy is ultimately conducted by the supreme will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Prabhupada then continues to say, the following verse confirms this in the Vedas. Mayam tu prakrim vidyan, mayinam tu maheshwaram. Although Maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician. The background of Maya is the supreme magician. The personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, is the supreme controller. Maya is so potent, so powerful, that she wants to bind you to this material world forever. Who's seen the play? Aniruddha was Maya in this play that we did. And the catchphrase that he had at the end, when he addresses the audience, he goes up, he's the wicked witch called Maya, right? And he comes up and all the little kids are sitting in the front after tormenting poor Hansel and Gretel. He torments the little kids that are sitting in the front, and his ugly face, he goes, I want to control you forever. And the kids all went, ah! So freaky. But that's Maya. She wants to control you forever. She wants to have you under her clutches. She will not let you go easily. So only Vishnu, Prabhupada continues in the purport, only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can release you to the conditions, give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas confirm this in the phrase tvam eva viditva viditva, or freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnu eva na samsaya. This is Lord Shiva. Sometimes in my dealings with other Hindu faith traditions, you know, they all say, yes, but we worship Shiva. And I say to them, well, Shiva worships Vishnu, you know. Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda. Mudamate, don't be a fool. Worship Govinda. So I suggest maybe you should read his scriptures a little clearer. And Vishnu is actually his greatest devotee, you know. So anyway, there's no doubt that Vishnu Narayan is the deliverer and the liberator of everyone. So here we have Dhruva Maharaj, who's bewildered, and here Dhruva is now being advised by the sages, okay, if you want to dispel this ignorance, this illusion that the yakshas have put before you, I mean, he's a single person fighting against all these yakshas. And they're saying, hang on a tick, understand your potency. Understand that with Narayan you can defeat everyone. So he then gets the arrow to dispel this illusion. So this is also, delusion and bewilderment is there so often in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We hear of different stories of bewilderment by devotees. For our example, because we're bewildered. A classic example is Arjuna himself. Arjuna was a great personality. He knew who he was, but then for the sake of the whole Bhagavad Gita, he took on this role of bewilderment. I don't know what to do. Oh God, I dropped my bow. And Krishna turned around to him and said, what's the matter with you? What the hell has become of you? The great warrior. I don't know what to do. He became bewildered and Krishna gave him proper instruction. Krishna gave him instruction. And Arjuna had the intelligence, after he heard Krishna berate him, actually Krishna turned around and said, this is not becoming of a great warrior like you. What the hell is the matter? Don't act like a fool. And then Arjuna realized, okay, I'm a soul surrendered unto you, Krishna. You please instruct me. And then Krishna gave him the source, gave him the realization. And so he was released from Maya. He surrendered to Krishna, and he was released from Maya. Now, that's what Prabhupada was pointing out in that purport in Bhagavad Gita. Surrender to Krishna and relieved from Maya. Now Maya is so diligent, she will never give up. Even if we're making so much advancement in Krishna consciousness, we think, oh, we're making such great advancement and we're really doing well, we're serving Prabhupada, we're going ahead, you know, yeah, we've been devotees for 10 years, yes, 20 years, yes, 30 years, yes, we must be getting there now. And then Maya comes in and goes, you thought you got away with it. She'll grab you. And all of a sudden, you're in illusion. You're in bewilderment. So often we hear great sages, even great devotees, succumb to Maya's efforts. She will not let you go. She will not let you go easily. You have to be very diligent. We have to continuously keep on surrendering to the process. Please instruct me, I don't know what to do. In a humble way. So Dhruva heard from the sages. He listened. This is the key point. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. We have to listen very carefully. He heard from the sages and acted accordingly. So often we get instructions, even from our boss or from our wife or husband. You should be doing this. Yes, darling, yes, I'll do that. And then in one ear, out the other. I get blamed for this all the time. I've asked you to put the rubbish out at the right time. Yes, darling, I'll do that. And in one ear, out the other. So we don't act on that knowledge, on that instruction from our superior. So we have to act on that basis. So that thereby, we don't know what to do. So we have to genuinely act. When we hear something which is for our benefit, we have to act on that. And we get great association. Just like now we're having Bhojan Prabhu and his wife Jagatarini here, Prabhus. You know, we should take advantage of getting as much instruction as we can and take to heart the message that these great souls are going to impart to us. In a week or so we get Sankarshan Prabhu coming. We are so fortunate here in Melbourne that we constantly get these wonderful souls imparting wisdom to us, which will make us more and more surrendered and more stronger in the fight against Maya. This is a wonderful thing. So, Dhruva heard, acted accordingly. He didn't act uselessly, like so many do in society. He acted in full consciousness. The example that's given, as far as a person acting on knowledge, had a heart attack or something, a person in knowledge knows how to do CPR and starts applying the process to help them. That's a person in knowledge. Now a person in ignorance just turns around and says, oh, I didn't see anything, and drives off. I don't know what's going on, I don't want to be involved, and drives off. That's ignorance. A person in passion turns around and starts running around, what do we do, what do we do, who do we call, where do we go, what happens here? That's passion. So a person in knowledge knows how to act, to do the thing that's required. So we have to hear from the right person. They've learned how to do CPR, they know what to do in the case of an accident, and they act accordingly. So they have to go to the right person. Here the word in the shloka is Rishnam, which means thoughtful sage, the thoughtful sages. So they were very thoughtful. They knew the truth. So then Dhruva Maharaj, understanding, okay, I'm taking the instructions of my gurus, the sages, I will now act accordingly. The first thing he did was that after having that instruction, it says that he touched water, or sipped water, archamam. And archamam is a purification. It's a purification of the personality before you go to do an activity related to Krishna, related to Narayan, related to God, and sometimes also to the demigod, so the divine. So there is a point of purification. A definition of this is, and I looked it up, the definition of archanam is, as immersing the body in water brings about physical and subtle cleansing, so taking water infused with mantras into the body by sipping performs a similar function. Thus, where purification is required, but it is inconvenient to bathe, archamam is prescribed. So this infused by mantra, so you put the drops on your hand, Om Keshavaya Namaha, or Om Vishnu, these different mantras, infuse it, then you sip, purify again, and do it again, like that. Wrong hand, sorry. Like that. So this is purified, which was a gift from Lord Narayan. Can you imagine getting a gift from Lord Narayan? Can you imagine receiving this arrow that is God's arrow? What that potency has. So he realized that. So the first thing he did was purified himself and then fitted the bow. So he took up the arrow, the sacred weapon, and Lord Narayan, and then launched the arrow, which we'll hear in subsequent verses, and launched the weapon to dispel the illusory energy. So he dispel those yakshas. So this is a wonderful thing. This whole point of mantras is an amazing thing. Prabhupada then goes on to elaborate that the weapon against Maya, this was Dhruva's weapon against illusion. Prabhupada then in the purport goes on to explain that the weapon that we have in this Kali Yuga is the weapon of the holy name of the Lord. The Harinam Maha Mantra. Maha Mantra. The greatest weapon. The greatest mantra. Because the word mantra, mind control, is the thing. It's more than mind control. It's actually the potency is so powerful of a mantra. And the mantra is our weapon. You know, we have that weapon at the ready at any time. When a disaster happens, when a catastrophe happens, the first thing we do is we don't swear. We don't use some foul language. First thing we say, Hare Krishna. Isn't it? We all do that, don't we? Yeah? Most of the time. So we have to bring in our weapon. Understand what we've been given. When we took initiation, we were given this mantra. This sacred weapon. And before that, we purified ourselves to receive it through the spiritual master, our Diksha Guru. He gave us, here you go, my boy. This is the mantra that's going to save you. This is the arrow that will dispel your illusion, the illusory condition that you find yourself in. And Prabhupada said, you know, that with this mantra, we can dispel illusion. Somebody said, how long will it take, Srila Prabhupada, for us to dispel the illusion? And will it take us years, Prabhupada? Will it take us lifetimes, Prabhupada? Prabhupada's eyes opened up and he said, it will take 1 minute. 1 minute. If we apply the mantra correctly. If we apply the Harinam mantra correctly. This is the power of the holy name. So, the mantra is surcharged with spiritual energy in this Kali Yuga. Now, it's interesting. This mantra gives us protection at every step. And we should diligently take up this mantra every day. Just as Dhruva Maharaj, after being instructed by the sages, took up his weapon and clearly aimed it at his illusion, the yakshas. Similarly with us, when we wake up in the morning, it's not that we wake up and we think, I've got to chant my rounds. We should see it. I am picking up, when you pick up your bead bag, I am picking up my weapon. This is my weapon. You are a warrior. This is a war between you and the illusory energy. I'm picking up my weapon and I'm going to fight you, illusion. And every mantra that you chant is like a weapon, an arrow, piercing the illusion. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in that world of your own where you are completely caught up with this illusory energy, you are dispelling, you are making a pathway back home, back to Godhead. It's an amazing, powerful thing. We take it for granted. We haven't really heard properly what Prabhupada is saying. This mantra is your ticket home. This powerful mantra is yours. You can use it. This is the power of the holy name. It's so powerful. So recently I was really interesting and I wanted to find it again. This week I was researching a little bit and I came across some scientific evidence where scientists are now working on evaluating the potency of chanting, of meditation. Did anybody else see this article? It was a fabulous article about how scientists have done research on people that chant and what chanting actually is. Now, for thousands and thousands of years, all the sages have been instructing us that this sound vibration of chanting is so vitally important that Prabhupada insisted that when we go out on Harinam, not only are other human beings benefited by the chanting of the holy name, but even the bugs on the trees themselves, the grass, the molecules in the air, everything is benefited by hearing this sound vibration of the holy name, by being touched by this weapon, this powerful weapon to destroy illusion. This is why he said this is so important in the Kali Yuga that this congregational chanting be done. in line with, as it says here, in line with the associates of Lord Chaitanya. The associates of the Lord have given us that direction to go out and create Harinam. There's an interesting story, you know, with Muslim ruler at the time of Lord Chaitanya? Yeah. So he was totally opposed to this Harinam, right? And he would put people in prison, and he said, if you guys go out and do this chanting, I'm going to get all your children and put them in prison as well. There wasn't any judge or jury. He could just take people off the streets and put them in prison. And Lord Chaitanya heard about this, and he said, so we all go out. Everyone goes out. And you know, he used to break the madangas and everything. So he massed, you know, revolution. And the Shah was just like, what is going on? So powerful. So sometimes, the power of the holy name convinced him, and eventually he became a devotee. He listened to Lord Chaitanya. So anyway, getting back to this scientific understanding, so often the scientists have thought that when we talk, that there are sound waves, right? So that's dispelled now. Apparently it's not waves, it's actually bubbles. You know how you have this understanding of sonar energy that dolphins use, you know, where they send out a vibration and it bounces off another thing, and then they know. Bats have a similar sort of thing, where they charge out, and then they know exactly, they can form a figure. They're finding out now that by the use of mantra, the use of powerful words, some are Om Mani Padme Hum for the Buddhists, Allah Akbar for the Muslims, you know, what's the one for the Christian? You put it out to the ether. It's like a ball that goes out, and they say there's no limit to the vibration. That's because in that sound bubble, the electron molecular structure, and I wanted to find out the exact terminology, and I will find that article again, actually creates like a friction, which is a light that goes out to infinity. So what the sages have been saying is that when we chant, we're sending this positive vibration, this positive energy out to the universe. So thereby it's recommended that we chant early in the morning, because then there's the collective of all of us chanting, both here at the temple, but all of us when we wake up early in the morning, collectively, for the benefit of the whole of the world and the universe, we are sending this sound vibration out to the universe, collectively. And if every one of us has the same connection and same determination as Dhruva Maharaj to dispel the yakshas, to dispel our illusion, the world will be an absolutely amazing place. Who knows already? Like we often say this in different circumstances. Who knows already what the world would be like if it was not for Prabhupada coming to the Western world and actually introducing this Harinam mantra? Who would know how far Kali Yuga had gone? You know? But it was predicted that he would come, and that for the next 10,000 years there would be a bubble of Satya Yuga. So eventually, by your chanting and by everybody else's chanting, this world is going to be transformed into basically heaven on earth, the spiritual world on earth, Satya Yuga. And you can see, even you don't have to be blind man to see, even the materialists are seeing, my God, things are changing. Yeah, Maya is also putting a big hold on it, but in the same token, there's like interventions happening all the way through. Just even the point, just recently, there was a conference in Queensland of all the cattle farmers in Australia. And they had this meeting, and they were completely freaked out because of the movement. Oh, try it, please. Thank you. The movement of people turning away from eating beef and eating meat. They are so concerned about this. You know, thinking, what the heck are we going to do? And they were saying, you know, because there's also this development at the moment of synthetic meat. Has anybody heard of that? Synthetic meat? Unbelievable. They get a cell, they develop a cell, and from that cell they can create any type of meat that you want. Chicken, and so there's synthetic beef, synthetic chicken. Whether we're interested in that or not, we'll stay with our mung beans and our khichdi and halva and stuff. But, you know, for the materialists, this is a major threat for the meat industry. So, and there's now, percentage-wise, the amount of people that are turning to vegetarianism and veganism is just rising astronomically. And these big businesses just don't know how to do it. A lot of businesses in America that are meat-producing businesses have got a subsidiary company which is developing vegan foodstuffs. Did you know that? Because they read the writing on the wall. This can only increase. And it's not that people are just doing it for health benefits. They're actually doing it for compassion for the living entities. So our chanting, the devotees' chanting, is changing the world. Slowly but surely, people are more inclined to be appreciative of other faith traditions. It's not like we're against you. People are open. I deal with interfaith all the time. And people are receptive to understanding, what do you believe, Bhakta? You know, people are receptive to take Srila Prabhupada's books. People are receptive to hear. We just have to push that further and further. So this is a wonderful age that we're living in. So following in the parampara, following in this direction, everything goes well if we just simply follow those instructions. And follow the instructions of Vishnu, of Krishna, of Narayana, means also following the instructions of his representatives, of the gurus that are instructing us. Thereby, in the morning, every morning, we sing that song, first thing we wake up, Sakshatarivvenasamasasaste, Uktashtata bhavyata eva sabhi, Kintu prabhuya priya eva tasya, Vande guru shri charanaravindam. What does that mean? It means that Krishna has empowered the spiritual master. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as Krishna, because he's given you this relief, he's given you this freedom to actually end this cycle of birth and death, and freedom from the illusion. This is the Supreme Lord. So association with the sages is again the thing that is advised continuously throughout the Bhagavatam, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, throughout all the Vedic scriptures, the Sri Upanishads, even the Vedas, the four Vedas, they're all clearly, if you want to know the truth, you have to surrender to the spiritual master. What does it mean to actually surrender to the spiritual master? What does it mean? It means giving of yourself, surrendering, giving of yourself. This point of giving is actually a very, very important thing to understand. Giving is letting go of anything that I want, only having in mind the benefit of others. So you judge a person in their Krishna consciousness by how much that individual is giving. And then you can say that person is making advancement. If you see that that person is giving all the time, giving of themselves, then you can say, they're making advancement. Let me listen to that person. Let me hear from them. And the classic example, the greatest example, is His Divine Grace Himself. You know, I mean, if anybody has seen the film, the Hare Krishna film, who's seen the film, Hare Krishna film? Who hasn't seen the film yet? Haven't you seen it yet? Okay, it's coming back to Melbourne. Yeah, at the Hindi Film Festival, we made arrangements this week that we're going to be showing it at the Hoyts Complex in Melbourne, one showing there and one showing in... She's heard Krishna Katha, she's seen the deities, and so she wants to help the devotees. She said to me, Bhakta, any way that I can help, I will help. So if you've missed out seeing the film, you'll get an opportunity to see it. So... where was I up to? Yeah, so giving is the you got it. Giving is the thing that really sets us apart. We have to give. And Prabhupada was the clear example of that giving spirit. He gave everything. He gave his whole life. You know? Even though he was a married man, he gave up that marriage. He gave up everything. Lord Chaitanya also, he shows us the example. Had a wonderful situation. Lord Chaitanya was a wonderful personality. Had a wonderful wife. She was only 16 years old. Fresh young wife. His mother was a doting mother. She loved him so much. And yet he gave it all up. Surrendered it to preach God consciousness. It's not that we have to rush off and become sannyasis or sannyasinis or anything like that. It's just that we adopt this giving attitude in our lives in every way that we can, being exemplary in our lives. And throughout history, we can see when we have that giving atmosphere, this giving quality, then people start to take notice and listen to the instructions that you're giving. That quality of giving makes you a sage, makes you a saintly person, and makes you a power broker to dispel the ignorance of others. And throughout history, we've seen this happen time and time again. Time and time again. Like, say, for example, even in Buddhism, right? If you take that faith tradition, coming from an interfaith perspective, Buddhism, Emperor Ashoka, right, was a powerful king in India, and he was instructed by the Buddhists, correct? And because of their sincerity at that stage, Lord Buddha was an incarnation of Krishna, and due to the time circumstance, he had to manifest himself because the Vedas were being abused with unnecessary slaughtering of animals. And so Buddha came to dispel this ignorance. And King Ashoka, Emperor Ashoka, was so impressed by the teachings of Buddha that his whole kingdom became Buddhist. Just changed the whole lot. And another classic example in Western theology. You had one man, one carpenter's son, who was an empowered representative of God, and he changed the whole European and Western thought. At that stage it was paganism, which was, you know, silly sort of stuff. And then the Romans took up this message of Christianity. And that the Roman Empire was one of the greatest empires this world has ever seen. More powerful than the American Empire, more powerful than any empire that's been on earth previously. The Romans occupied such a large, apart from prior to that, the Bharatvarsha, when the emperors of India actually ruled the world. But let's just say the Romans. And his teachings, through his disciples, he wasn't actually even present anymore. Through his disciples and their fervour changed the whole of the Roman Empire. And on a lesser scale, there was an interesting scenario, that of Malaysia. For our Malaysian friends, that was once a Hindu nation. But because the Hinduism of that time was mediocre deity, demigod worship, and had lost the connection with Krishna, with Vishnu, then a great preacher of the Muslim faith came to Malaysia and convinced the ruler at that stage that this was nonsense, and that Islam was actually far more connected with God, and then the whole of Malaysia became Muslim. So this is the point. We have to be so careful that who we're actually teaching. And Prabhupada was so emphatic that in our preaching we should preach to people that are going to make a difference. But we never know who that person is that's going to make that change. We didn't know at the time that from Apple? Steve Jobs. When he was eating at a so-called Crossways restaurant in America, in LA, that he would be one of the most powerful human beings on this planet, changing technology like anything. He had no idea. You don't know who you're talking to when somebody at the Sunday feast comes and asks questions about Krishna consciousness. And it's then that we have to have that giving spirit. We can socialize with our friends Or we can actually direct our attention to that individual that has come here for the first time to find out about Krishna and satisfy that person, start dispelling that illusion that they're caught in. This is our job. This is our war. We have a war against Maya. We have a war against illusion. We want to come back to our superhuman. Our superpowers have to be restored so we can go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone should be given the opportunity to have this information given to them. Everyone. So it's incumbent upon us to actually develop that. So this is... And we have to organize our preaching in such a way that we can actually develop that. And things like the movie about Hare Krishna film, there's so many different things. The area that we're really wanting to focus on now, which is of very great importance, is that this temple is becoming too big. The congregation is becoming too big. We have to look at expanding. And it means mutual consciousness of moving out, growing. You know, people are ready for us in so many different ways. You know, people are waiting for the Hare Krishna movement to take the lead. I got told recently from some very prominent Hindu people, we are waiting for the Hare Krishna movement to lead the Hindu people as one to push on Krishna's direction. So there are areas that we have to work together with. And the first area that we're looking at, ultimately we want to conquer the world. And Prabhupada said this is not a fantasy, this is actually a reality. You know, he said we should look at our community as far as politicians are concerned. You know, there are so many different areas that we've got to look at. Balavanta Prabhu set up the In God We Trust Party in the United States, and Prabhupada was very, very enthusiastic about that. And in fact, he got a lot of votes. Even here in Melbourne, one of our devotees at one stage also set up In God We Trust Party for a state election. And he got something like 10,000 votes. That was back in the 70s. So it's not saying that... But one of us here may want to take up that role, or one of our children may want to take up that role as a politician. Or we might influence a politician to take up Krishna consciousness. You know, as we can see with our parliamentarians here in Melbourne, they're very, very favourable towards Krishna consciousness. Recently at the Diwali program and the Holi program in Wyndham, we had the Premier of Victoria coming and doing aarti to Jagannath. Was everybody there? Did everybody see that? And he was doing aarti and he's so favourably inclined towards the Hare Krishna movement. And then later on, you know, not to be... outdone, we had the opposition leader coming, saying, "Hey, Bhakta, how are you?" And he cracked the coconut before the cart. And he was so ecstatic. He said, "That was great, can I do it again? My son didn't see me doing it." So he wanted to do it again. So we have to make inroads within society, in our own capacities. Whether we're male or female, it doesn't matter. We're in contact with people. And if we're in contact with people, you've been given knowledge. You've been gifted. Now pass on that gift to others. That's incumbent upon us. Every day we wake up, we should have in this mind, when we look ourselves in the mirror, we should thank Krishna. Krishna, you've given me another day to fight. Another day to fight. We may not win all the battles. Maya is strong. We may not win all the battles. And we may fall down even. But then we dust ourselves off and the next morning we look at ourselves with, today I'm going to really fight. Today I'm going to gift this Krishna consciousness to someone else. Today I'm going to give of myself a little more. Today I'm going to win a victory over illusion. And Maya will see that and say, "Oh, you reckon, do you?" "Yes! And here's my weapon. First thing in the morning, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." We shoot those arrows out first thing in the morning. In power. Not that we do it lackadaisically. That's not powerful. We have to be powerful. We are superheroes. We are Prabhupada's superheroes. Get out there and fight for Krishna. This is a war. We're all in the same boat. Give as much as you can. Be a giving person. Open your heart to all the fallen conditioned souls. They're waiting. They're waiting for us. Then there's nothing else we can do. So this is a sublime weapon which destroys and defeats all and always remains victorious over all enemies. When we got Krishna on our side, we can't go wrong. We cannot be defeated. It's a fait accompli. You know, that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I already see the vision. It's going to happen. Prabhupada similarly had the vision. There are going to be temples all over the world. Look at it. You know, you go to any place in the world, Bhakti and I get to travel. Like just recently they had the international communications, ISKCON communications seminars in Italy. You know, hundreds of devotees came from all over the world and they all reported their advancement in Krishna consciousness, how things are moving along and how the juggernaut is moving and is growing and is, you know, gaining impetus. Yeah, there's difficulties on the way, but that's just Maya putting in obstacles. But we can defeat that. Prabhupada said actually in this mantra, if we chant this mantra, knowing now that it's a scientific fact, it's not just some mysticism, it's not something that some sage on a mountain has said, and yeah, sure, you know. It's scientifically proven. We want everything proven scientifically. It's proven that the mantra has so much power. We can see it from the Shastra. When we read the Bhagavatam, the Mahabharata, these people didn't use nuclear bombs where they whack metal and stuff together. They had the power by mantra to dispel an atomic bomb that only destroyed the people that you wanted to destroy. So powerful, the astras that are available. Even in our own simple life, you know, there's so many different mantras. Like I mentioned so many times, and this really spurred me on to understand the power of mantra. Some of you know that I did that TM program before I was a Hare Krishna devotee. For many years I was a disciple of Maharishi. And he brought this program of TM cities, Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. One of the sutras, and if you read those sutras, they're amazing. So they are mantras for things like controlling your mind, to create a universe, to be smaller than the smallest. You've read those different sutras in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. And one of them, the one that he taught us, was lighter than cotton fiber. Lighter than, so you become light. And so this was a mantra for levitation. Now he had this gross young man, me, doing this TM for a couple of years, and we were given this mantra. And we were sitting in this room about this size with foam about this deep, right? And we were given this mantra. You repeat this mantra in your mind. And we would repeat this mantra, and all of a sudden you felt this, like, shoot up the back of your spine. We understand now that that is a sort of a kundalini awakening, although kundalini awakening in the Vaishnava tradition, we don't pay any mind to that, but, you know, so there was like this flutter at the base of my spine. And even thinking about it, you can sort of feel it. It's like a flutter at the base of your spine, and then, whoa! All of a sudden, you just lift in the air. And then you can't maintain it, so you plop back down. And so this was his so-called mystic cities, that you could flop around on a piece of foam. But for me, I didn't do anything. All I did was recite a mantra, and this thing was happening to my body. I'm thinking, wow, this is amazing. So then when I came into Krishna consciousness, I understood that actually the power of the Maha Mantra has the power to change things. I had positive proof that a mantra actually works. You know, in the end, it became so boring that we're just flopping around, and that's why my knees are wrecked to this day. And every single person that did that TM Cities program has had knee replacements or arthritis in their knees. And when they asked Prabhupada, what about this mystic city, Srila Prabhupada, that they're levitating? He simply turned around and said, a frog in the toilet can do exactly the same thing. When we heard that, we said, absolutely right. Waste of time. And from that moment on, we were chanting 32 rounds, 64 rounds, and we had competitions. How many mantras could we chant of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? But the thing that had dawned on me was that actually it has power. And now science is coming to the party and saying, yes, mantras have power. And we are the custodians of the most powerful mantra on the planet, this Maha Mantra, if we use it properly. So I appeal to all of you, don't treat it lightly. When you wake up in the morning, it's your next day's battle. It's your next day's part of the war. It is your fight against these illusory yakshas, Maya Devi. And shoot your arrows at Maya. And when you shoot your arrows at Maya, when you dispel that ignorance first thing in the morning, convinced that these powerful mantras will have an impact, your day will go so smoothly. Krishna is by your side. Krishna has seen your effort. He is the commander-in-chief. Srila Prabhupada is there with you. He's the commander-in-chief. He's with you. He's with you. Keep going. And then Maya puts up the illusion. You have to go off to work. Or you open up the computer. And all of a sudden, you know, there's this image on the computer. Uh-oh. The form of a beautiful woman. She's scantily dressed or she's got no clothes on at all. And you go, an illusion comes in. You'd like to enjoy that, Bhakta, wouldn't you? This is material energy. And then, because you've fought first thing in the morning. No, I don't want it. And you've won a battle. You've won against Krishna. You've won against Maya. This is what we have to strive for. It is a war. We can't be complacent. Exactly. We can't just let things roll by. Oh, yes, we're nice devotees. We know everybody. We have nice sangha. We get together and we have nice prasadam together. We meet each other. Oh, hi, Prabhu. Hey. We're at war. And we are Srila Prabhupada's superheroes. He is the greatest superhero. We're his superhero. And great advanced superheroes come here all the time. You know? I've had the opportunity of having some association with a far-out superhero, Devamrita Maharaj. He is such a superhero. To me, he's my Shiksha Guru. I really appreciate his Krishna consciousness and his determination. Every day he's out there preaching. He gives so much to his disciples, gives so much to everybody. I saw him give that class at university, you know, where he did that talk. He's just so powerful, you know. So we should model ourselves on those great Vaishnavas that come and visit us, you know. And if we do that, and the words of the great sadhu, that sound of the holy name, we can defeat all these anarthas that afflict us, you know. All the anarthas of lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion, all of them can be smashed to pieces. And then what happens is, we'll truly be part of the solution for a wonderful world. That we leave our children. You know, we see so many of our little kids here. Day in, day out, they're growing in number. They're such wonderful kids. They're already so inspired by Krishna consciousness. If you are diligently fighting this war, they will be even greater warriors than you. And they will change this planet around. That your great-great-grandchildren will say, oh yeah, Papa, going back many, he was an explorer. He was the pioneer. You know, we have these histories where the pioneers go out into the wilderness and set up colonies and civilizations and stuff. That's us, folks. We're setting it up for our kids in the future. A Krishna conscious society. Don't think that it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. The momentum is happening. And the wheels are in motion. It's up to us whether how hard we fight for it and what potency we want to put to it. Does that make sense? Okay, thanks, Prabhu. I just had to get that off my chest. Thank you very much. Has anybody got any comments or questions at all? Amazing, huh? Just him. That's the potency of the mantra. Yeah. Even King Parikshit, you know, when he wanted to finally surrender, I mean, he could have dispelled the curse. He could have dispelled the curse of this little Brahmin boy. What the heck was he anyway? I mean, you know, he became, for Leela, as a Maharaj, he would never have been perturbed by the fact that somebody had a, you know, the sage didn't wake up for him, you know. But all because of Leela. But then the lesson was there for us. He was bewildered. And then he realized, I have to learn the truth. And he approached the sadhus, the saintly people. And he said, okay, and then I will give everything. I will give up eating. I will give up sleeping. I will give up everything, drinking, just to hear the sages. And I will accept whatever Krishna wants. That's power. That's powerful. And there are so many different stories like that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know? And in other scriptures as well. Not just in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because there are other scriptures of the world are also Veda. Veda means truth. There is truth in the Old Testament. There's truth in the Quran. There's truth in the New Testament. There's truth even in the teachings of Buddha. There's truth there. You've got to see that truth and be respectful for that. And there, your God brothers and sisters, we have to work together to develop this Krishna consciousness comes to a point. Will all the world be Krishna conscious, Hare Krishnas? Will we have got rid of all the other religions? And Prabhupada said, oh no, we don't get rid of other religions. We work with the other religions and we instruct them. And he said, by the way, Hare Krishna is not a religion. It is something that a Jewish person can take up. It is something that a Muslim person can take up. It is something that a Christian person can take up. Simply they call on the holy name of God and follow the principles. Bus. That'll get you back home, back to Godhead. It's amazing. Amazing. Any other comments or questions, Phil? Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Yatra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Premanandi.